Determined to press on. In Jesus' name, we will press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. For that strength tonight. We'll go ahead and take the prayer request and then ask Brother Terry Horn, if he don't mind, to come and pray over them. First of all, we have a thank you from Gene, Brother Gene, and Sister Linda Kress. I'd like to thank each of you and every one of you for the kindness and generosity that you've shown our family since our house fire. Words cannot express how truly thankful we are. May God bless each and every one of you is our prayer. So we appreciate those folks and glad that we were able to be a help to them. Please remember Sister Hall and Brother Dwight Hall. Her father passed away, so let's remember her. This is for Brother Naimba. Please pray for a work situation and that God's will would be done. Also remember Brother Danny Morangelo, granddaughter Hannah Gilbert, who has a lump behind her ear and will be going to the doctor next week. She's 11 years old and loves the Lord, so just asking the Lord to be with her at that visit. Wanda, Sister Wanda Batman, please pray for my mother. She's having knee trouble. Remember that. Also, a request for Brother Eugene Kennedy, not feeling well, has not been able to sleep for several days. He really needs some rest. So let's remember Brother Eugene tonight. Please pray for Brother Tracy. He needs a touch from the Lord in body and spirit. Brother Tracy, please continue to pray for Sister Ruth from Canada, who needs deliverance from the battle she's fighting. She needs a big miracle. So remember her. Please pray for Marlon and Ruth Anthon. Also, Sister Pat Short asks for us to pray for her. I'm homesick with a sinus infection and bronchitis. She's requesting our prayers tonight. Please pray for Brother Terry, Sister Jaretta Stockton. Both need a touch from the Lord. And then Brother Daniel Barclay turns in a request for Lorraine Hall. Was released from rehab yesterday. Blood pressure was too high. Prayer was given. She got better. Thanks, and continue to pray for a full recovery. So we'll remember her. And let's stand this evening as Brother Terry gets ready to come and pray over these requests tonight.
As we pray tonight, can we just all join our faith together and you pray, and we'll touch God. Heavenly Father, as we approach thee tonight, how thankful we are, first of all, just to be back in the house of God. We count it a great privilege once again, that we can lay aside the daily activities. We can divorce all thoughts, Lord, of what we did yesterday, perhaps even Monday. And we can truly come into your house and concentrate on you and worship you. We're so thankful once again we have this privilege. We get to come to church one more time. God, I just pray as we sing the little song, we see clear before our eyes that great prize, and truly we can see it more clearly now. And because we can more clearly see it, it gives us the strength to press on. Because we, as we said Wednesday, we're getting so close. We're so close to breaking that rim and crossing that finish line. Truly, Lord, we can see clearly before our eyes the great prize out there before us. Don't let us quit. Don't let us stumble. Don't let us lose courage, Lord, but keep us enthused and encouraged about the coming of the Lord. We pray, Lord, tonight for each one of these requests, and I pray, God, you touch the little 11-year-old. You know what that individual will be going through, and Brother Dwight Hall and his wife, their request there. I pray for Brother David Seiler. He's preaching down at Brother Danny Stevens. I pray just anoint him. Brother Donnie down at Jason's, just speak to his heart tonight as he has labored and prayed, and give him the thus saith Lord for the bride there down there. And let it be spiritual food in due season. And our precious brother Daryl, I believe, is going to bring the word of the Lord tonight. Speak to his heart, Lord. And may we just pull on the gift of God. May we say it's been good to be in the house of God. We ask you to take the uppermost seat. We invite your presence. Come among us, Lord. Pour out your spirit among us. And may each heart be blessed and brought closer to you. And perhaps, Lord, there's one here tonight that's never been saved. God, let this be tonight that they make that all-sufficient decision to receive Christ into their heart. Maybe there's one here tonight that does not have the Holy Ghost. Lord, may you seal them into the kingdom. Lord, for we truly know, what if Monday morning the rapture would take place, and like in a twinkling of an eye, and somebody, you know, a few days later, a few people come up missing. Yeah, then we realize we should have got ready. Lord, we want to make our calling and election sure. Let it be tonight. Let every person in the building make ready tonight. We pray, Lord, for each one of these requests that's been written. It's been spoken now. You know each one. We ask that you meet the need, bless the service tonight. Grant to us, Lord, those things we have need of. And truly, Lord, may you just come real to every heart tonight as we draw closer to thee. We ask, Lord, anoint the singing tonight, the exhortation, especially the word is anointed, anoint the speaker and the hearer, and we'll give you praise tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you touch Brother Jack, Lord Yance. I pray that you'll just be with him, a little condition there in his leg. I ask that you all together make him well. Relieve him of that pain, that condition, heal his body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated this evening. Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit Mary. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as he wore the robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above, down Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day one thing left to say, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he stood in Pilate's hall, never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Came to die. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How you left your small mother down on Calvary just to save someone like me. There in the tomb,
as he lay there in that tomb, he did what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Oh, but he rose up from the grave, so I could rise up today. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love?
Pilate's Hall.
As he stood in Pilate's Hall, he never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? But he knew that he came to die. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save some. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave it peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven found you, and I'd do it all again. Let's sing the chorus again. And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall.
Let the brothers come and lift the offering tonight. Both those songs had a part about him leaving heaven just to die for us. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Makes me want to sing this next song. I love that man in the middle. I appreciate the sacrifice he made for me. Amen. Help me sing as they take up the offering. D.
Well, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man made it possible that I could go free.
Let's sing that chorus again. Sing it from your heart tonight.
I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died.
Let's sing that verse together.
There was a mountain, there were three trees, there was a good man, there were two. For the tree, but Jesus took the middle one, and Barabbas went free. I Not from pain.
Let's stand this evening. Let's go ahead and stand, and Brother Darrell Ward's going to come out and speak for us tonight. I guess let's just sing that same song there again as Brother Darrell gets ready to come. Let's sing that chorus again. I so appreciate Brother Darrell, and there's a lot of us that are here now, married, and got our own teenagers, that when we were teenagers, Brother Darrell just would not leave us alone. He could not be satisfied with us just getting together and having a good time. Brother Darrell always was hounding you. Have you got the token? Have you got the Holy Ghost? You got to have the Holy Ghost if you got the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of us, you know, I know I believe in predestination, but I also believe that things that we do make a difference. And I'm not sure where some of us might be if it wasn't for the efforts of Brother Darrell. And I'll never forget Brother Darrell and never cease to appreciate what he gave his life for us when back at that time. That's pretty much all he did was run us around, take care of us. And appreciate Brother Darrell tonight. Let's just pray for him as he comes to speak to us. I'm sure he'll have something good for us. And let's sing that chorus one more time as Brother Darrell comes.
Oh, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man made it possible that I could go free.
Let's sing it together again.
I love that man. Cause I know he first loved me.
Thank you, Lord.
You died. Made it possible that I could go free.
What a wonderful thing freedom is, amen. That we could go free. You know, I've wondered a lot of times and preached on it a few times and looking at Barabbas. And of course, you know, his name was Jesus Barabbas. And I've often wondered that evening when he got off to himself, I wonder what he thought. He was to die that morning, the most horrible death. Roman crucifixion was a terrible way to die. Brother Branham said he was sweating it out in that prison cell. Every rattle of the chain was just know they was coming for him, and the pressure of knowing he was going to die, and then them walk in there and say, Barabbas, you're free. Oh, it's a trick. You want me to leave so you can spear me in the back and tell everybody Barabbas escaped and you killed him. And so I said, no tricks, Barabbas. No tricks. You're free. Just walk right out that door and you're free. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, I tell you tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the shed blood of Calvary, you're free. You can walk right out that door free tonight. You're free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you richly. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn to us. We want to read there in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21. It's really good to be home this weekend. Appreciate y'all praying for me. I was up in the White Horse, Yukon Territory way. I know some of the brothers been up there. It's a long way from here, and it got a little bit colder up there already, and I just got cold or something. I don't know, but I come home real sick, and it took me, with all the layovers I had, 22 hours to get home, and so I just come home really sick. But by Wednesday night after y'all prayed, I was feeling better, and so I was able to actually preach down in Kentucky this Wednesday night and drive back. And so we're here tonight, and I appreciate that. Still got just a little weak in my body and got a cough, but We just want to do the best we can tonight. And appreciate each one coming out, and just trust something will be said to help you. We'll read now from Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Don't it feel good in here?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I said, oh, Brother Darrell, the crowd's down a little bit. Well, it just gives us more room to shout. Amen. Praise the Lord. We certainly got something worth shouting about.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 16:21. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. My goodness, what an attitude Peter had. Saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you this evening on just a simple evangelistic thought. Of this day, I will give my all. This day, I will give my all. And for the title of the tape, it's just this day. Heavenly Father, Lord, I hold in my hand this evening this prayer cloth, Lord, asking, dear God, that your spirit that raised Christ from the grave, Lord, would follow this cloth to its directed purpose, Lord, and meet the need there of our sister, Lord, who is afflicted. God, we are so glad tonight that you're an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And no matter how dark, Lord, or how evil, Lord, no matter how great the sickness would be or how great the sorrow would be or the circumstance would be, we are so glad tonight, Lord, knowing that it's not bigger than you. So, oh God, we cast down every symptom, every ideal, Lord, every condition, every opinion that's contrary to the Word of God, and take your Word tonight, Father, and stand upon it, for heavens and earth will pass away, but your Word shall never fail. And oh God, I pray tonight, Lord, may your anointing come. I surrender myself into your hands, Lord God. Forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings, God. Forgive me for my feebleness, dear God, tonight. And Lord, just let me yield myself to you, Lord, that you may come and speak to your children and anoint their hearts to receive, oh God, that when we leave the building this evening, may our hearts burn within us. Lord, we have sung the songs of Zion, and they have stirred our hearts, Lord, and prepared it. Now, oh God, let the word rain down upon us tonight, we pray. Lord, that it may bring forth good fruit and good season, Lord, we ask. Bless all those that are traveling, Lord, many tonight of our people traveling all over the country, different places, but oh God, may you give them traveling grace. Bless the brothers, wherever they're ministering at tonight, dear God. Bless your little bride around the world, Lord. Heal our sick, forgive our sins. Let revival fire break out in every heart and every home, dear God. And then we leave here, Lord, may we leave with the ideal that we have one motive and one purpose, and that's that the world would never see us, God, but they would only see you. Grant it tonight, I pray, Lord, that the people may say you're alive and well, a living God, because you're living in the hearts of your children tonight. Oh God, once more we ask, Lord, that you'd move upon this prayer cloth for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, buddy. You know, Brother Donnie started a series here on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago. We was here and just so enjoyed looking at some of those things and the comments traveling different places and different people speaking about the services. And You know, Brother Donnie made a statement, and I thought a lot about it after he made it. I believe it was even the title of the first message he preached in that series on clothing and on garments. And Brother Donnie made this statement. He said, does clothes matter? Does what we wear really matter? Does what we wear really matter? Now, people want to argue whether it does or whether it don't, but Brother Donnie made just an astounding, if there's a question, there must be an answer. Does what we wear really matter? Now, I want to share this with you. I found it in the Revelation series, The Prophet of God. He said, now, what do you think when the bridegroom come back and found the man sitting there without a wedding garment on? And he said, friend, how did you get in here? And he stood speechless. It showed that he come some other way besides the door. He come in the window. He come in the back door. And he called him friend. It showed he was a church member. Because Jesus called him a friend. It showed he was a church member. But he was in there without the garment. He did not have the garment. Now he come through the window. He come through the back door. He come some other way. He said, friend, how did you get in here without a garment on? Amen. How did you get in here without a garment on? Because it proved without the wedding garment, he comes some other way besides the door. Amen. The only way to have the wedding garment is to come the way of the door. Amen. If he would have come by the door, he would have received the wedding garment. So in order to receive the wedding garment, you must come. You must come. Man, woman, boy, girl, every one of us, preacher, deacon, trustee, prophet, evangelist, everybody must come the way of the door. Well, I go to church, that makes you a friend. It's not coming to Happy Valley that gives us the wedding garment. We must come by the way of the door. In order to receive the wedding garment, you must come the way of the door. You say, why do you keep saying that? I want to emphasize that. And this man, he said, how did you get in here, friend? It showed he come some other way. He come in a window or a back way, but not through the door. Amen. Not through the door. The way Jesus came. Amen. Jesus, who is the door, had to come away to get in. Listen to what he says. But not through the door. Not through the door the way that Jesus came. A self-sacrifice. Giving your all to God. Huh? Not through the door, not the way Jesus came. Now you say, brother, Jesus was the door. That's right. But the door came away. Amen. There was a way he came that made him the door. And everybody that wears that garment must come the way. Amen. Now remember Paul when he was before King Agrippa. He said, I would that everybody in this way, the way called heresy, I will serve the Lord. In the way, the way Jesus come. Paul said, in the way. What does it mean? It is a path traveled. It is a journey. It is a course of conduct. It is a way of life. It is a manner of thinking. That's the way. Jesus was the door, but you must come the way of the door, the manner of life, the way of conduct. Do you catch my thought here? The self-sacrifice way. You must come the way Jesus came. How did Jesus come? Through self-sacrifice. Giving your all to God. Walking to Calvary. To be crucified with him. And rise again. To wear his garment. Go to Calvary and die. To rise again. But when we rise, we wear his garment. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
What is his garment? A sacrifice. His garment of sacrifice. We must rise again to wear his garment of sacrifice and death to the things of the world.
Amen.
If this man would have come by the way of the door,
He would have had the wedding garment. The only way to get the wedding garment is to come the way of the door. A self-sacrifice. Giving your all to God way. A self-sacrifice. Giving your all way. Now, Brother Branham told a story of a guy by the name of Arnold von Winkler. Now, in Switzerland, Brother Branham said, I was thinking of him when he was up there. Said, you know the story of what a gallant hero he was. That many years ago in Switzerland, and how the Swiss nation was being invaded by a mighty army. And cities were being taken. And the gallant blood of Swiss people was congregating from the mountains into the valleys. Amen. With such weapons as they could defend themselves. Now these Swiss people were not soldiers. They were not warriors. Many of them didn't even have a gun. They were just common people. Just common, normal, farming people. But this army had come into their country. So these people, in order to fight against this army, took whatever they had. And started congregating themselves together. Against this army. And they stood there looking over this field. And they looked at this army approaching them. They was outnumbered. 50-1. That means every man would have to kill 50. Outnumbered 50-1. If you ain't careful, that'd make you want to run. I'm being honest. 50-1. Outnumbered 50-1. They wasn't soldiers. They wasn't trained. They didn't even know what to do. But this army that was invading was well trained. Every man was like a brick wall. Coming right in. They were standing there with their spears. And moving up. This great mighty army. Each one of them looked like a brick wall. Each one of them with a spear, helmet, swords, trained, disciplined, organized army. Against a bunch of peasants. With rakes and shovels and sticks and ox goats. Everything else they could find. A brick and a pillowcase or something. Anything they could find. Here was this army coming against him. But there was one fella. Who stepped out by the name of Arnold von Winkler. Now he wasn't a Goliath. He wasn't Bruce Lee. He wasn't a kung fu expert. Wow! He didn't know none of that stuff. He was just a farmer. And he stepped out there in the presence. Oh my. Think of this. In the breath, it was hopeless. Everything they could think of was lost. They would simply have to go down. Their homes be lost. Their families be killed. Their fatherlands would be destroyed. There was nothing they could do. It was hopeless. Von Winkler stepped out. Said, Swiss brethren, quit texting the church. Listen to me. Quit reading your Bibles. Listen to me. I've got something to say. He said, Swiss brethren, I want you to know this day I will give my life for Switzerland. Over on the hillside, I have a wife. I have two girls. I love them with everything. But today, I will never see them again. I will never go home again. I will never walk through the front door of my house again. Because this day, I will give my life for Switzerland. What are you going to do, Arnold? I want you to get whatever you've got. And I want you to follow me. The prophet of God said he'd come down off of that hill. He found where the thickest congregation, where the greatest group of the soldiers was, with the biggest spears. And he ran right into the midst of it. And as he ran, he threw out his arms and he said, make way for liberty. And he ran and grabbed those spears and pierced them into his body. and the weight of his body broke the ranks. Yeah. And when it broke the ranks, those behind him come in behind him. With pitchforks and shovels and sickles. Hallelujah. Bunch of peasants, Brother Larry. But they were warriors in their hearts. They just needed somebody that would be willing to sacrifice everything. When they found someone that was willing not to sit there, but do something. But they won a victory there that day that has never been won before or since. Said you can't even mention his name in Switzerland today without them tearing up. Because one man was willing to give his all. Seen a soldier, Vietnam veteran, at the Vietnam Memorial Wall one day, had on a t-shirt, said all gave some, but some gave all. Son gave all. What kind of people will we be when it's all said and done? What will be wrote on our headstone? We gave some or we gave all? Huh? Brother Brown said that hero, that heroism is seldom compared with, never exceeded until one time that was a small thing compared to this event. When the sons of Adam stood in a corner and the sons of Adam's race and they were defeated. God sent them law and they couldn't keep it. They went after something else. He sent them prophets and they couldn't keep it. It was ignorance, illiteracy, sin, sickness, disease, breaking down the whole human race. Every hope was gone that the human race could be saved. For who could save them? The whole human race was bound for destruction. There was no one on the earth who could save them. Everybody was born in the same shape. Every man born, God. Every man born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. It was hopeless. The human race was gone. Then in heaven, there was one who stepped out and he declared, this day, I will give my life for Adam's race. And he looked over earth and he saw the greatest fear that man had. And that fear was death. Oh God. He found what man feared the most. He found what the greatest fears was. He found where Satan, what he had over man the most. Not sickness numbers so much. Not depression so much. But the fear of death. The fear of dying. If a man dies, will he ever live again? Amen. He said, this day, I will give my life for Adam's race. He saw the greatest fear was death. He ran to a certain place called Calvary. From there, he caught death in his bosom. And he ascended up on high. And he sent back the Holy Ghost. He said, follow me and fight with everything that you've got within you. What was he telling us? The door was telling us the way. Follow after me. What kind of way did you do, Jesus? What kind of way did you walk, Jesus? Not a self walk, not a selfish walk, but a self-sacrifice walk, giving everything not for himself, but for others. Oh God, friend, don't tell me how much we know. Don't just tell me about the third pole. Don't just tell me about squirrels being created. Let me see this live that somebody, one young person, would be willing to give everything for the sake of others. But sometimes we think, because we can't give a lot, that it doesn't matter. Well, if I could give big things, oh, Brother Darrell, if I was rich, I'd help the poor. Oh, Brother Darrell, if I had $1 million, I'd build churches in Haiti. I'd do this, I'd do that. Oh, Brother Darrell, if I was rich, I'd do great things. No, you wouldn't. If you won't do it with what you got, you won't do it with what you would get. Doing it's not based on what we have in our pocket. Doing it's based on what we have in our hearts. Amen, brother. Now preach. Thank you. I believe I will. It's the God's truth, friends. Well, if I could do big things. No, people want to do big things because they get big attention. But it's the little things that matter the most. Sometimes it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's just a card in the mail. I tell you, friends, sometimes in my lowest moments, I'll get a card. I'm going to call her name tonight. Sister Deanna Dixon, she'll send me a card. That woman has helped me. God only knows how many times she's helped me. Just a card in the mail, Brother Darrell. I'm praying for you. I thank God for what you're doing. I thank God for your stand. Just a card in the mail. But it makes me feel 10 foot tall because somebody cared enough to send me a card. Sometimes, friends, all it takes is just an amen. When a man will deny his time with his family and time with his girls and sit in a room by himself looking over thousands of quotes to come and bring something, try to bring something to help the people. Sometimes all it takes is just one good amen. Makes it worth every hour that man studied. Not something big, not something great, just something simple. As preaching, brother, praise God, we're behind you. Sometimes we think because we can't do big things, then we should just do nothing at all. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. But let me tell you, that's wrong thinking. Let me show you an example. St. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Let me show you an example here of small things. Jesus sat over against the treasury. And he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. And she threw in 2 mites, which maketh a farthing. I can't say that word, but if I'm not good at math, God knows. I remember one time Jessica was in third grade math book. I said, Daddy, would you help me with this math problem? I said, sure, honey, sit down. She gave me the book. I looked at the problem. I closed it up and said, go see your mama. You don't want me building your house. If you get in, you'll have to come in some other way. The door won't work. But I believe it equals about an eighth of a cent. Not even a penny. If I'm wrong, forgive me. And he called unto his disciples. Now watch this. Jesus was sitting there against the tree, had his back to the wall. No doubt many people come in throwing in the money, talking about the Tennessee football, talking about this, talking about it. Not even this, didn't even pay here, throw some money in, go on out the door, the next business deal coming up. And Jesus was sitting right there. Many of them walked in and never even seen him. Oh God, may I never come to church and never see Jesus. God help me to see him every time I come. And he was sitting there with his back against the wall. And he watched this woman come in and open up her purse, taking out 2 pennies, 2 mites, not even a cent. And quickly she drops them into the treasury and makes her way out. Perhaps people didn't want her sitting beside them in church. She was so insignificant. She was so small. But Jesus was watching. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And he called unto his disciples, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, which means desire, she of her desire. Nobody made her to do it. Nobody forced her to do it. No deacon standing there empty out your pockets today, sis. Nobody there to force her to do it. It was a volunteer effort. She desired to do it, Brother Larry. She wanted to do it. Jesus said, this woman, this woman of her wont did cast in all she had, even all her living. Two mites empty out her 401k. Two mites was her retirement plan. She didn't give one and keep one. She gave all. Oh my God, if I don't get off page 7, it's going to get real quiet. Huh? This woman of her desire did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now notice these others, they gave in large sums of money. But Jesus said they gave from their abundance, from their excess. It didn't even mean as much. They probably didn't even count it. Because they had so much. Just whatever's in their pocket, throw it in there, go on. Said these gave of their abundance. They gave of their excess.
Amen. But this poor woman. Amen. She gave her all.
Right. Two mites may have seemed like nothing. But I'm so glad with God. Little is much if God is in it.
Amen.
Little is much. No, there's not the great things. But if it's given from a desire, from our heart. Brother Ben told the story of King George. And they let the children out of school to go see the king. When they got back to class, one of the little girls was missing. The teacher went to find her, and she found her beside a lamppost. Knelt down, and she was crying. She said, "Little sis, you okay?" "Yes, ma'am, I'm okay." She said, "Well, honey, why are you crying? Did you see King George?" "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I saw King George. Did you wave your flag? We gave you all flags to wave. Did you wave your flag?" "Oh, yes, ma'am. I waved my flag." "Well, did you sing your song when King George rode by? Did you sing your song?" "Yeah." "Oh, yes, ma'am. I sung my song. I waved my flag. I saw the king." She said, "Well, honey, why are you crying? What's the matter?" She said, "Teacher, said I saw him, that I waved my flag at him, that I sang him a song." She said, "But I was so small. He couldn't see me. I wanted him to see me, but he couldn't see me." Brother Benham said, "That may be true about King George. You may be too small for King George to see you." But he said, "Oh." But he said, "It's not true about King Jesus. No matter how small we are, no matter how little we do, he sees everything we do." Hallelujah. Mark 9:41. "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." You can't even give someone something as little as a drink of water. In the name of Jesus. Just a simple drink of water. Yes, and he sees it.
Amen.
He sees it, Brother Terry.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And he'll reward you for it.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Just a glass of water, Brother Jerry.
Amen.
Not $1,000. Not pay off my car. Not pay off my mortgage. Brother Greg, right. Just a drink of water in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I'm fixing to run. Hallelujah. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God. Amen.
compared to what others was given. Hers seemed so unimportant. It seemed so insignificant. Just two lights. It didn't even rattle the basket. But to the one who knows the heart, he knew. He knew she had given her all. How do you think he knew others gave much the same way he knew she gave little? Contributions is treasury. It was voluntarily, as I said, paid yearly by the Jews for the service of the temple and to support the poor. Nobody forced her to do this. Nobody stood there empty out your pocket, sis. It was voluntarily. She wanted to do it. Friends, just in my humble thinking, which is probably wrong about everything I think is wrong. You think you know it all, you find out you don't know nothing. But if anybody was poor, hello, it was this woman. She didn't even have a penny. So to me, Brother Larry, if anybody needed to receive from this treasury, it should have been her. She shouldn't have been on the giving end. She should have been on the receiving end. Because the money went to help the poor. And if anybody was poor, it looks like she was. Even Jesus said she was. If anybody was poor, it was her. If anybody should have been receiving, it was her. But notice, she never thought of herself. She thought of others. Perhaps there's someone else who's worse off than me. And maybe I can do something to help them. You know what that is? That's exactly eternal life. The prophet said eternal life is living your life for others. A life lived for self is a selfish life. Right, friends. It's such a selfish age. But you can't find nobody that'll admit it. But it's a selfish age. What's in it for me? Come on, friends. You take a selfish man, I was telling Brother J.D., you take a selfish man. He'll hide behind warped ideal of headship. My way or the highway, sis. You know what that is? That's not true headship. That's a selfish spirit. Hallelujah! Okay, if you amen me or not, that's a God's truth. Come on, friends. Jesus don't believe us. He's our head. He don't do us that way. Does Jesus do us that way? He said we was his helpmate. Well, glory to God. Guess I'll preach marriage and divorce in the morning. Y'all come. Come on, friends. That's the truth. This is what I want. Heard Tim Pruitt tell a story one time about a turtle. And he wanted to get to another pond. And he got to talk these two birds into taking him over there. They said, well, how can you do it? How can we do it? He said, take this stick, put it in your feet. And I'll bite on the stick and I'll hold on to it. You fly me over to the other place. So they got the stick. The bird bit on the stick, lifted him up off the ground, flying through the air. Everything going good. One of the birds looked over the other bird and said, who thought of this? Turtle said, ah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. If anybody was poor, it was this woman. But notice her attitude. It wasn't that she could get on the receiving end. She wanted to be on the giving end. Oh, God, help me to be like that. Let us not be a people that has an attitude. What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? But when I come through those doors, don't let it be, what can I get out of service tonight? But what can I give? Let me come and give something tonight to help my brother get well, to help my sister get delivered. Let me come with a good attitude. Let me give the best, amen, the best, hallelujah, the best attitude that others will not suffer. Let's not just come to church and give out our excess. You love the Lord? You happy to be here? Just out of our excess. Got a few amens later. Come on, somebody. We're children of God. We're God's army. We are the redeemed of the Lord. A peculiar people. A holy nation. Some leaders shouldn't have to beg us to worship God. Come on, somebody, please say amen. Come on, somebody, get in the service. Nonsense. We ought to come and just get out of our butt. We ought to come and give everything we've got. I remember one time when I was a boy, my mom and daddy had it hanging on my wall in my bedroom. It was this quote by John F. Kennedy. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. That's ought to be the way we come to church. Not just what I can get out of it, but what I can give. Some people come to church to see what they can get. I talked to a boy one time. His daddy was a surgeon. This boy wasn't in the message. I was just running until we got to talking, witnessing about the Lord. And he told me, he said, my daddy would study and find where the eldest people went to church. And he went there, put his membership, because he knew they would need hips and knees and ankles. And he knew he would get their business because he went to their church. Oh, God, have mercy. Can you believe that, friend? That someone would come with that attitude. That it would be something that they could get for a personal gain or a monetary gain. But God help me not to be that way, please, Lord. Not to be a people come and give out our excess, but let us be a people who will give our all. You know, here a few years ago, Brother Michael got some tickets down to the UT football stadium to tour the stadium. And he asked me if I wanted to go. And I thought, yeah, I'd like to go see that. There's a bunch of us went here, several of us, 10, 12, 14, something like that. So we had our own personal guide and they took us around the stadium. My goodness, this place is unreal. And they took us into the locker room, the UT locker room. Man, wish my house looked like that. And they had these lockers, and above the lockers was the name of football players who had played before. These boys could stand there at that locker and look up and say, ah, this is Reggie White's locker. This locker here at one time belonged to Peyton Manning. It's only two names I know. And they could take inspiration, Brother Terry. That we would inspire them. It would inspire them to play their best because they had one who before them, Peyton Manning, had this locker. Help me to play as good or better than Peyton Manning played. And I was looking at it and I thought, my goodness, God's got a locker room. And above the locker is a Moses and a Daniel and a David. Oh, hallelujah. That we can draw from examples that if God done that for them, God's able to do it for us. Amen. And I was looking around this locker room and they had all these pictures and it was about this wide right here, about a 50-yard sprint, I guess. And they would go straight, these double doors would open. They would run straight down that padded carpet, right onto the football field, right straight onto the field. 96,000 screaming fanatics that turn around and look at you like you're crazy because you amen. They shave their heads, shave their chest, they go crazy. They leave there, have to pack them out of there. Oh God, I'm so hoarse, I can't, I'll scream by the... And Tennessee loses. Can you imagine if they won? 96,000 screaming fanatics. And I sit there and I imagine Brother Larry in that locker room, them boys hearing the roar of that crowd, how they must have got pumped up. How they was, I'm sure they was doing, they were beating each other on the pads, smacking each other on the helmets, body slamming each other. They were fired up. They were pumped up. They were excited. They were jumping up and down. They couldn't wait, Brother Raymond. Could not wait for the door to open to run out on that field. I thought, oh God, how it would be if we came to church that way. We couldn't wait for the door to get open. We couldn't wait to get in here and do something for Jesus. What a difference. Oh, hallelujah. What a difference our services would be. We come in like the walking dead. In case you don't know, we win. I said we win. Let's come through the doors like winners. We're winners. They would run right out on that field. And above the door on the way out was a sign. And I looked at that sign. I had seen these pictures. I was looking at the pictures. And when those players run out that door, Brother Larry, every one of them smacks that sign. Smacks that sign. Smacks that sign. Every one of them. Pow, 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 pow. Right out onto the field. Roar! And I got to looking at that sign. And the sign said this. This day, I will give my all for Tennessee. And I thought, my God, the boys will go out there. They're willing to break bones. They're willing to tear tendons. They're willing to spill blood. They're willing to paralyze themselves. They're willing to die. They're willing to bruise themselves up. They're willing to sweat. They're willing to work. They're willing to labor. They're willing to do everything within them that Tennessee would have a win. That when they left the field, they could say, this day I gave my all for Tennessee. If they could do that for a stupid piece of pigskin, oh God, my brother, my sister, what are we to do tonight for Jesus Christ when we come through those doors? This day, this day, this day, I will give my all. I will give everything I've got for Jesus Christ. Every ounce of sweat, every ounce of strength, everything I've got, I will give it today for Jesus Christ. That when I leave this building and I get into the car, I can tell I gave you everything. Brother Terry, whether I feel like it or whether I don't, I read a book one time by Jim Brown. He said, "Plays, talk about playing hurt." He was a running back for somebody. Chicago Bears was, I don't know. But he said he would come through. He would come through. They'd give him the ball. He said, if they hit me so hard, they'd knock me in the next week. I could see whether it was raining or not. He said, I'd get up, dust myself off, act like it didn't even hurt. He said, if I went through the line and they never even touched me, I got up, I dusted myself off, I act like it never hurt. Because I didn't want them to know when they hurt me. I thought, my God, Brother Terry, that's the way we need to do. We need to come through those doors. The devil may knock you plumb up into the third row, but get up and act like it never even hurt. And come in here and raise your hands and praise your God and claim your healer and claim your victory. Go on, somebody. Amen. Just reach up and do something for God. Why sit we here till we die? Let's praise Him. We've got something to praise Him for. Let's give our all. Let's give our all. Hallelujah. Amen. This day, this day, this day, I will get my all. Hallelujah. Ought to be on every church door. It ought to be on every church door. We ought to print t-shirts. We ought to make picture frames. Put it on our calendars. But more than all, we need to write it in our hearts. This day, whether I feel like it or whether I don't, I will play hurt for my God. One time he was a little boy. His mama packed him some fish and some bread. He's on his way to school. He heard a commotion. It's Happy Valley Church on Wednesday. And he went over the hill. And he saw the church service. And he sat down. And there was a man by the name of Jesus. Was preaching. And after a while, one of his disciples came up to the little boy. He said, "What you got in your bag, little boy?" He said, "It's my lunch. Just enough for the boy. My mama packed it this morning. Fish and bread. Just enough for me. What you going to do with it, little boy?" "Thought about eating it." "Would you be willing to give it to Jesus?"
Think about it. Amen. Come on now.
He didn't have another lunch. There wasn't no McDonald's down the street. Jesus is asking for food. Would you be willing? "Well, it ain't much. But if Jesus wants it, I'll give it to him." Jesus took the little boy's lunch and he blessed it and he fed 5,000 people. And when he got done and everybody was fuller than a tick, they took up 12 baskets full. Jesus could do that for that little boy's sacrifice of giving his lunch. If we could offer tonight a sacrifice of praise unto him, there would not be a feeble one among us. If you would forget about your problems, forget about your sickness, and just start praising God, just start sacrificing and thanking God for your healing, there would not be a feeble one among us. Junior goes home, Brother Jackie. And his mama looks in his bag. Says, "Honey, didn't you like the fish?" "I see you didn't eat it." "Oh, mama, I ate good." "Yeah. Well, what did you have?" "Wonder Bread." Brother Bannon said, there was another widow woman. It was a desperate hour. And the prophet said this woman was a woman of good character.
Amen.
Because God sent Elijah to her.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. I think some of you missed that. The prophet said this woman was a woman of good character because God sent Elijah to her. Let me say it one more time. God looked at this woman and saw something in her. Because the prophet said, he sent Elijah to her. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Amen. Why? God saw something in us. When I was a drunk, when I was on drugs, God saw something in me. I never come looking for Elijah. I was never looking for Elijah. He came looking for me. Now, there was a famine in the land. People were dying. And this woman had just enough for one cake. Bread and water. She went out into the yard to pick up some sticks to make a fire. Now she's going to bake this cake. And she's going to tell her boy. Because he's going to ask her mama, why ain't she eating? And she's going to tell the little boy, Junior, honey, mom's not hungry. I'd enjoy it more if you ate it. You know why? Because she's a real woman. A real mother. She had in her the same thing that other widow woman had. Thank God for godly mothers. So that was her plan. Brother Amos was to go out there, pick up some sticks, build a fire, mix the oil, mix the bread, make a cake, give it to Junior. She's going to probably say she's going to take him into her arms, rock him to sleep, sing in moments like this. I sing out a song and wait for death. That was her plan. So she's out in the yard picking up sticks, and all of a sudden she hears behind her, good evening, friends. Never forget, I was 8 years old the first time I ever heard that voice. He said, I wonder if you would bring me a drink. Now watch. Just give me a few minutes, I'll close. Watch. Now she had more water than she had food. So he was asking her to give from her abundance. Give me a drink. Oh, yes, yes, kind sir. After all, what good's water? It just prolongs the death. Huh? So what does it matter to give this kind stranger a drink of water? But little does she know, it carries a reward. She said, yes. Water, yes. I'll get you some. Come on into the gate. Make yourself at home. I'll get you some water. And a morsel of bread. Now he's not asking from her abundance. He's actually asking her for everything she has. Now if that cake has just been for her, because she was a woman of good character, no doubt, she would have gave it to him or shared it with him, or she would have done something, because she was that kind of a person. But you see, he wasn't asking her to give that cake that she was going to eat, but he was asking her to give that cake that her child was going to eat. Any parent knows you'd rather be sick than your children. You'd rather suffer than your wife. Any good godly man would rather suffer than his wife suffer, rather suffer than his children suffer. He wasn't asking her to give the cake she was going to eat. He was asking her to give the cake her son was going to eat. But something within her, she was willing to give her all. And when she gave her all, when she said, amen, yes sir, I'll do it, she heard the words that every believer longs
to hear. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. The oil will not run out. The mill barrel will not be empty until the rain comes upon the earth, because she was willing to give her all. When Jessica was hurt, and I stood at that window, I didn't pray that prayer, God, if you take her life, I'll love you. If you let her live, I'll serve you. I didn't pray that prayer because I was a great person, friends. But I prayed that prayer. God knows my heart, I'm being honest, because it was the only prayer I could pray. There was absolutely nothing else I could do but give her to him. There was no other option. But after the Lord gave her back to me, I ran into Brother Louie down in Kingsport, Colonial Heights there at the Walmart. He was stocking little Debbie cakes. He said, come on out the truck. I got some cakes for the kids. I had my arms out. He was loading them up. But he was listening to a tape. You know, I don't think I've ever told Brother Louie this. He was listening to a tape in his truck tape player. And Brother Brandon was talking about Yosemite and Moses. And Brother Brandon said, because Yosemite gave Moses to God, God gave Moses back to Yosemite. And something spoke to me. It was just as real. And he said, because you gave her to me, I gave her back to you. Jesus, hey, you know the cross. Look at it just for a moment. They had beat this man until they could beat him anymore. His blood was pouring out. His sweat was pouring out. His tears. He held nothing back. Amen. Jesus on the cross. A dying man. Remember, the anointing left him in the garden. He went to Calvary as a man. Amen. Jesus, the man. One mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Hanging there between heavens and earth. Look at him. Look at him just for a moment. He never gave from his abundance. He never gave from his excess. But Jesus hanging there on the cross. That day, he gave everything he had. His sweat, his blood, his tears, his life.
Amen. Everything.
Amen, right?
He held nothing back. This day, I will give my all for Daryl Ward, for Amos Cutts, for Terry Horn, for Harry Reagan. This day, I will give my all for Brittany. For Brent.
Thank you, Lord.
For Jerry. And the thief on the right was so influenced by this man's sacrifice. When the other man was cursing him, this man said, leave him alone! Leave him alone! We are getting what we deserve. Watch him now. What's he giving Jesus? Praise.
Amen.
This man's done nothing wrong. What's he giving Jesus? This dying thing, what's he giving Jesus? His repentance. This man's done nothing wrong, but we are getting what we deserve. I am guilty. This man has done nothing wrong. Watch Jesus giving his all. And it so moved him, Brother Terry. He began to follow the way of the door himself. And he said, remember me. He was acknowledging who he was. He knew he had power. He knew he was different. Remember me. Jesus, for the sake of one dying thief, pushed up off the cross. This day. You will be with me. Be willing to forgive those who have wronged us so wrong. Yes. To be willing not to hold grudges. Amen. Not to fill our lives with bitterness.
Amen.
But to be willing to live the way he lived. Though no matter what they do to us, we will forgive them.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Father, forgive them! They know not what they do. Follow the way. If you want that garment, friends, you'll never get it by just quoting the prophet. But if you want that wedding garment, you must come the way he came. The way of the door. A self-sacrifice, giving your all to God. God is only trying to find one person. He can get in his hands. He's always trying to do that. One young person. One young sister. One father. One mother. One person. He'll give their all to Jesus. One person. He'll say, this day, I will give my all for Jesus Christ. But Rev said, you've got to give God your all. Give all to God. Your reverence. Your respect. Your everything that you are. Just be nothing. Just see how little you are. That's what God wants us to do. That's real humility. Not carrying your Bible like Brother Branham. Not wearing your hat like Brother Branham. Holding your head like Brother Branham. That's imitation. But real humility is to do the will of God for your life. That if God wants to take your family and place them to a tragic accident, or take your husband, or take your life, your wife, and leave you as a widow sitting on a bench, are we willing to allow God to take our lives and squeeze us and crush us in the wine press until he can get a fragrance out of our lives that would help someone else who is in a similar circumstance, who is in a similar situation? Are we willing to say, are we really willing to say, not my will, let thy will be done. Brother Branham watched his baby suffer until her eyes crossed
in his hand.
Right.
Can you imagine watching your baby suffer until its eyes crossed and pray to a God that you had seen heal thousands of people, and he pull the curtain down and not even answer you? But Brother Branham stood there and said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." But after that, he said, "I never went into a prayer line. But when a cross-eyed child came to the pulpit and were healed without even a prayer. Because every time I saw their crossed eyes, I thought of my baby and it left something in me." Given your all, your evidence, your respect, everything you are. Just be nothing. Just see how little you are. That's what God wants us to do. That's real humility. To come the way of the door. Think you'll get there just because you preach? Oh no. Think I'll get there just because I travel the few places the Lord allows me to go? Means nothing. But I'll get there because I went the way of the door. And he gave me a garment. Because I walked his way. The way of self-sacrifice. Not seeing how much you can get, but giving yourself and all away. You want to see whether you're selfish or not? Let the service go a little bit longer than what you think and see if you get mad. It's true, friends. But are we willing to do whatever it takes for our brother sitting beside us to be healed, to be delivered? Are we willing to walk the way he walked? A self-sacrifice way. It showed he comes some other way. He come in the window, he come in the back way, not through the door, not through the door. Not the way that Jesus came. Through self-sacrifice and giving your all to God. And walking to Calvary and be crucified with him and arise again. Does clothing matter? Arise again to wear his garment of sacrifice and a death to the things of the world. This poor widow gave all, even all her living. Can we walk out the door tonight and can we say, This day, I will give my all for Jesus Christ. Can we make that our pledge? Can we make that our theme? This day, I'm willing to take whatever it takes that Jesus can have the preeminence in the service. My best amen, my best hallelujah, my best song. I don't care if I sound like a fingernails on a song washboard. I'm not singing so somebody pat me on the back. You sing good. But to sing from my heart, because I love him and I want to worship him and I want him to know I love me, that I love him. I want him to know I love him. I don't care what it sounds like. I'm not here to make a beautiful sound. I'm just here to make a joyful noise. I'm happy that I love him. I'm happy that he loves me. I want to smack that sign tonight. I want to make that pledge tonight. This day. Is there anybody here that'll make that pledge with me and say, this day. This day. I will give my all for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. As the prophet said, when I get down to the end of the day, let me know that I've done all that I can do to make someone's life a little easier on the earth. Fathers, I told my girls one time, and then I thought, I don't just need to tell them. I need to tell myself. I said, girls, you live your life that someone experienced a miracle because they met you. I thought, oh God, that's not just good for the girls. That's good for me. That's what I need to do, Lord. I need to live my life in such a way that someone was helped because they met me. Oh God, help us tonight, Lord. Not to be self-centered, selfish. The world is so selfish. The Pepsi generation, the I generation, iPad, iPhone, everything centered around the person, Lord. Such a selfish age. Wives suffer because their husbands are selfish. Husbands suffer because their wives are selfish. Churches suffer because the people are selfish, Lord. Oh God, we give of our tithes. That's wonderful. We give to help the poor. That's wonderful. But what about our praise? What about our sweat? What about our tears? What about our lives? Oh God, help us, Lord, to be a people that not just gives out of their abundance, but may we be a people, Lord, who fills the pool of your word this night. Father, I thought about those football players, how they run out there on that field willing God. Many of them ruin their careers, blow their knees, spend the rest of their life with a stiff joint. Many of them paralyzed, Lord, in a tackle, break their neck, spend the rest of their life in a wheelchair. For Tennessee, for a score that in 50 years will mean nothing. But, oh God, you've not called us to enter the arena of a football game, but in the arena of life, you've called for us, Lord, to run a touchdown for Jesus, to block for Jesus. If someone else is carrying the ball, the prophet said, don't tackle them. Help them run with it. To live our lives for others. Not what's in it for me. Not what I could get out of it, God. But what I could give. Lord, I say it humbly and for the glory of God. You know my heart, Lord. I hardly ever talk about trips I go on. But I remember one time way up in the mountains, dear God, of Nicaragua. I laid on that old piece of board until my legs were so sore I could hardly stand to touch them. Walked down old dirt roads and dirt floored churches. And I remember one service, I was sitting in the back. I was so tired. I was so homesick. Hadn't shaved in days. Hadn't took a bath. I was so tired. A little woman got up, no shoes on her feet. She began to testify, began to cry. And the brother come up to me, said, do you know what she's saying? I said, no, I don't understand the language. He said, she's saying, I love Brother Darrell because he left his home, come up here in these mountains to bring us the word. Oh God. May not mean a difference to a lot of people, Lord. But in her eyes it did. God help us, Lord, to be that kind of people, I pray. Not just to give out of our abundance. Not just to give out of our excess, but to be a people that would be willing to give our all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight, friend? You know, the altar's in your heart. You want to stand to your feet right there? Just want to surrender yourself to Him. Say, Brother Darrell, I've tried and I've tried. That's the problem. You've tried.
Don't try. Just give it up to Him tonight. Some of you young people, some mama, daddy, brother, the altar's open. You want to come and pray? You're welcome to pray. We'll pray with you. Or we are people that just wants to give out of our abundance. Well, we'll give God 35 minutes on Saturday night unless the preacher's gone, and then we'll do something. Is that really what our testimony wants to be? Or we'll get to the end of the road to hear Him say, "Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Grant it, Lord, I pray tonight. Grant it, Lord, I pray tonight. Not to give out of my abundance. Well, I got a few amens. I'll throw an amen out. I'll nod my head just to let the preacher know I'm not sleeping. Oh, no, God. Oh, God, let me be a person, Lord, that pulls from the time the song leader starts, Lord, until the organ player steps off the platform. When we leave every service, we have known we have left it all on the battlefield. We have given it all to Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord, tonight. Amen and amen. I feel the pull. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my Heavenly Father, God, I pray for my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I hear the call, and I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to give a higher praise.
Tonight. Do you know that song, Brother Harry? Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. Do you know that song? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. See if you can follow. This is my desire to honor Lord with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way with me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live my life for you, all of me. Oh yes, Lord Jesus, amen. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Yes, Lord. Amen. All I have, all that's within me, Lord, I want to give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Oh, God, receive my worship now. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Can we just worship me just before we go? Amen and amen. Oh, Father. Try the reins of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, look down upon us tonight, oh God. We want to give our all to you, Lord. We surrender into your hands tonight, Lord. Make us better people, better Christians, better servants, Lord. Better fathers, better mothers, better children, Lord. Oh, God. We surrender to you tonight. We want more of you, Lord. Amen. And amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you. the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lean back against you and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. Hallelujah. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The more I love. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to sit by you, Lord.
Jesus Christ has loosed us tonight. We're free for worshiping in spirit and in truth. God bless you richly, be our prayer. Do you love him tonight? You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I offer unto thee tonight. Do you not know you are my friend? Do you not know you have always been my friend? I worship you. We magnify your name. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.
For he is holy.
Oh,
holy. Holy is our Lord. Jesus is here. worthy of my praise, Jesus is.
Hallelujah.
Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him and let Him know what a mighty God Jesus you are.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh my.
Jesus.